Okay, let's be real. Do you know how much Jesus loves you?
You are being real with Owen Barley.
He's got more for you.
9:30 a.m. exclusively on Impact 103.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Owen Farley, and welcome again to Being Real. I am so happy to be with you today. It's a time where we get to be real, challenge the way we think, and be transformed into the very image and likeness of Jesus Christ, which is love. Now, yesterday, we were talking about change, and I was thinking about this a little bit. Why do we change? Sometimes you have to understand your why before you can step into something, commit to it, and understand, like, why am I actually doing this? And I remember that the reason that I started to change and step into pursuing the kingdom was because I fell in love. I encountered God. I discovered that there was a reality that was above what I had known that was possible. You know, I grew up in the church. I grew up surrounded by the things of God and inundated with the Word of God. And I knew about the Word, but I hadn't met the person that is the Word of God, which is Jesus. And as soon as I met Him, that changed everything. I realized that there was a different reality. I realized that Jesus came and He said, repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins, live your life in a way that proves repentance. See, God's purpose for your life, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what Matthew 3 verse 2 says. And that's what Jesus wants for us. He came to set up a kingdom. That's what His original intent was in the beginning, to set up a kingdom of heaven here on earth. And He created us to be able to have dominion over the earth and to step into ruling everything that is around us. But the reason that I couldn't was that I was so used to being conformed to the world. My mind was changed. I mean, when Jesus sent me down to the earth, I didn't think the way of the world. I got trained into it. And I realized that this veil had been pulled over my eyes. It had been pulled over, and I didn't know what the kingdom was. I didn't know who the king of that kingdom was. And that king is Jesus. He's coming to set up His kingdom. And that's the reason that I started to change, because I met the king. I met Him. I understand the king's heart, and His heart is love. He said, behold, I am coming to make all things new. And that's why we change. That's why we challenge ourselves to seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. Why? Because then He will add everything else unto us. Because once we step into the kingdom, that is the real reality, that is the original intent for God actually creating the earth, we step into a life that is so far beyond our understanding. And that's why we challenge ourselves to change. That's why we want to change. And so we're going to carry on talking about change today. And one of the challenges that we started to set up yesterday was actually listening during the show. And just saying, okay, which one of these scriptures can I take and start meditating on and start learning off by heart so that I'm equipped for when the enemy comes up against me with a lie that is counterfeit, I'm able to stand and say, no, that's not the way that the kingdom of God actually operates. The kingdom of God operates like this, and we're able to quote that scripture. So, you know, when we change, Jesus really is our number one. He is our number one, and we make room for Him. We make room in our lives. And I must admit, like, going through times in my life where I realized that I was drifting from Him, He lovingly brought me back, and He lovingly said, don't forget who I am to you. Don't forget the experiences of you encountering the kingdom, of you encountering love. Make room for that in your life. Make room. Don't just get busy. Make room. And I love these lyrics inside these songs. It says, I will make room for you. Not my will. You can move that over. My way, You can move that over. My ego, you can move that over. My plans, move that over. My schedule, move that over. My itinerary, you can move that over. See, I will make room for you. I love where it's written from, because it's written from a place of saying, whatever it takes, I'm going to move it over so that I can get the kingdom. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness so that everything else can be added unto me. I'm going to seek the heart of my King. And that's really what it takes. I remember going through seasons where I needed to get real, to get still with God. And he said to me, I've given you a tool. I've given you a tool of a schedule or an itinerary. I've given you a tool that you can use to actually sit down and organize what your day is going to look like and take a look and see, is this actually a priority right now? What am I prioritizing? Am I prioritizing, work versus actually spending time with the Lord? When I have the time, am I spending it on Instagram? Am I spending it watching movies? Am I spending it just time with friends? But yet I know that God is calling me into a deeper place. He wants me to set things aside and just say, God, you're number one in my life. And I did that. And once I did that and I sat down, wrote it out and said, this is what I'm going to do. I set that time aside purposefully for God to seek his face. And once I did that, I was inside of his presence. I was spending time with him, trying to understand his heart, trying to understand his mind. And the more I got to know him, the more his ways started penetrating me. And it was like the things of the world started to grow strangely dim. And there was nothing else that I really wanted. I wanted to spend more time all of a sudden. It became what I was obsessed about. It became that. And so this is what we need to do. We need to set aside time for God so he can bring us into his presence, so we can understand what it is he is doing for us. Man, when we experience the kingdom, we really do get freedom. You know, the kingdom confronts. Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword, to divide. Why? Because he wants us to come into a place where we are saying, God, I don't want the way of the world anymore. I don't want the kingdom of darkness anymore. I want the kingdom of light. The kingdom comes to expose that which is wrong or that which is counterfeit and bring us into what is real, what is of the utmost importance, the way that God really set it up. And the way that he does this through the Holy Spirit convicts. When the kingdom arrives, you are confronted with the choice. You're either going to say, God, I am exposed in the way that I'm operating right now. And yes, you're confronting me with your word. And the word of God is a sword that is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. So what does it do? It peels your heart back. It cuts. And you're exposed and it brings this conviction. And 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 explains what a conviction really looks like. And this is something that God does on a daily basis. Why? Because he loves you and he wants to bring you into the fullness of what he actually has for you. He loves you. So let's read that scripture. It says, for godly grief and the pain God is permitted to direct. I mean, that's powerful. He's permitted to direct this, to produce a repentance that leads and contributes to salvation and deliverance from evil. And it never brings regret. But worldly grief, the hopeless sorrow that is characteristic of the pagan world, is deadly, and it's breeding and ending in death. So there is like a grief that we go through in our conviction that is supposed to be there. It's supposed to make our hearts like bring this sorrow, bring this place where we like, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for thinking of it this way. I don't want it to be this way anymore. I'm tired of it being this way. Please help me so that my conviction in belief can change. I can stand in a different place and I can believe really what you're bringing, which is the kingdom.
Having that conviction of the Holy Spirit and bringing you into that place where it's like, God, no matter what price it takes, I'm willing to pay it. Is it creates in you this fire, this conviction or firm belief that things need to change. And that brings you into a place where you start taking responsibility for what's actually happening in your life. And you say, Lord, I'm making a decisive dedication of my life. A decisive dedication. Just like it says in Romans 12 verse 1, it says, after experiencing all the mercies of God, I make a decisive dedication of my life as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing unto you. So whatever I need to change, God, let me change it. Let me change it. And something rises up inside of you that says, I refuse to miss what God is trying to do in my life. I refuse to miss the kingdom. I refuse to miss it. No matter what it takes, no matter what I need to do, no matter what I need to change, I'm going to change. And it reminds me of a scripture in Joshua 24 verse 15 that says, choose thee this day what you are going to do, who you are going to serve. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And you determine it in your heart. You make that decision. You step into a place where it's like, okay, there's no middle ground anymore. There's no middle ground. I'm not going to be tossed hither and thither in the waves, just like James 1, 6 to 8 says. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be double-minded anymore. I'm going to take a firm stand on what I believe is the right path that I need to take. And your heart gets this conviction and says, no more. No more. For too long, this has been happening. You draw a line in the sand and you say, from this moment forward, things are going to change. You know, there's definitely a move that God is doing on this earth right now, and we can definitely be a part of it. And this is what today is all about. It's about challenging the way that we think, challenging us to change so that we can step into what God is really calling us to do. And there's different things that God has given us to be enable us to actually be able to make those steps. The first thing that he has given us is his son, Jesus, on the cross. He died for our sins. He gave us the opportunity to cleanse the past away and say, you don't have to be conformed to what your past defines you as. It's done. I've forgiven you. You're now a new creation. Another thing that he's given us is the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power, ability, efficiency, might. And this gives us the ability to be able to step up and to actually live a righteous life. Another thing he's given us is scripture. He's given us the word of God that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It also says that the word of God is like a hammer that breaks into pieces even the most stubborn rock of resistance. Another weapon, fasting and praying. Now, this one is powerful. This one really commands your flesh to submit. It breaks the power of your flesh. It breaks the power of those kinds of things and actually says, God, I want you more. I realize that I do not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, I need you. Come draw close to me. And in that pursuit, in denying yourself, you bring God closer to you. Another one is worship. Those are weapons of our warfare that we can actually do. Speaking in tongues. You know, so let's not actually take these weapons that we have for granted. God's blessed us with that. He's blessed us with the gift of tongues. Let's use it. Let's build each other up. Let's build ourselves up in praying the perfect prayer. So in this pursuit of the kingdom, one of the big things that we've been talking about is knowing scripture and understanding scripture. And this is what our challenge is. This is what we're going to be doing this month is challenge for change, is to actually say, what scriptures are we going to learn? And I have this beautiful voice message from one of our listeners.
Good morning, Impact team. Was just listening to you on the radio with regards to scripture that has really made a huge impact in my life the last couple of years, and that has just stuck with me. And every time the enemy, you know, tries to scare me or spirit of fear comes into my life, then I stand on 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind.
I'm telling you, that scripture really speaks to me as well, and is definitely one that I am adding to the list, you know. So please let me know, because there have been people asking about also 2 Corinthians 7:10 again. So I'm going to read this one again. For godly grief and pain, God is permitted to direct, produces a repentance that leads and contributes to salvation and deliverance from evil. And it never brings regret. So in our pursuit for the kingdom, please let me know which of these scriptures you want us to add to the challenge for change. Because at the moment, from yesterday, we have 2 Corinthians 5:7-8 that says, we will walk by faith and not by sight. And this is our dedication. This is what we are declaring and saying, I'm going to stand on this so that I can really receive the kingdom of God in my heart, in my mind. You know, another thing that I've really noticed when God has told me to be still and get real with him so that I can change and purify my heart and say, God, I'm seeking after the kingdom, is vulnerability. And I spoke about this a few weeks back. Was the power of vulnerability is so essential, because it exposes things that are in the dark. And when those things are exposed, the power that it has in your life gets diminished. The enemy thrives when you hide something. But when you expose it, when the light exposes it, all the power that the enemy has in your life on that issue gets exposed and taken away. And you're able to say, God, I need the vulnerability with you first and foremost. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure that I'm vulnerable with you. You know it anyway. You know what I'm going through. You see the thoughts. You see the heart's motives and intentions. And yet you still have chosen to love me. And this is the thing. God will never give up on you. No matter what you think you've done, he came to take sin away, to break the power of sin over our lives. And that's what vulnerability does. It gets real. It says, God, I want you in my life. I believe that you are coming into my life to change things, to change me into the very image and likeness of your son, Jesus Christ. You've chosen me for this. And I'm making a stand. I'm making a stand, and I'm making the stand by choosing to be vulnerable, not only with you, but with the people that you have ordained to speak into my life. The pastors that you've brought into my life, the people that I can really trust. And I'm not just talking about being vulnerable with people that are just in your life. I'm talking about those ones that God has ordained. And you know who God has ordained. You really know who God has placed in your life to mentor you, to teach you about the kingdom, to show you and take your hand and bring you right to Jesus. You know those people. Have discernment. Ask the Lord for discernment. Lord, which people did you bring into my life to really make sure that I can be open and honest so that I can receive the teaching, the guidance that I need to be able to step into the kingdom, to be able to step into what it is you really, really have for me. So pray. Ask God, what is it that I can do? Who is it that I can speak to be really vulnerable and open? The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. Confess your sins one to another. And this really helps, because you set yourself in a place where you're saying, I'm humbling myself. I'm keeping my heart teachable so that I can really step into the things that God has for me. We even need to change our mind on change. Some people have a really negative feeling about change. And I can understand it makes you uncomfortable. I've been in that situation. I mean, even now, God is challenging me with certain aspects in my life to change. And I need to stay in this place of uncomfortability where I'm not leaning to my own understanding, where I'm saying, God, I'm trusting in you. You're going to teach me everything that I need to know. You're going to show me your way. And I'm not going to lose my zeal to chase after the things of God. I'm not going to lose it. I'm going to pursue until I find it. And this is the truth. Is that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you want to change because it brings you into the original intent that God had when he created the world. It brings you into the fullness of the call. It brings you into a life worth living. And right now is your opportunity. Right now is your opportunity to change. It reminds me of a scripture in Isaiah 52 verse 4. It says, and this is in the Amplified version. It says, now I delivered you from both Egypt and Assyria. What then can prevent me from delivering you from Babylon? And I love the way God says that because he's delivered you and he set you free and changed things in your life before. And we can remember those times and actually say, Lord, I trust that if you did it before, you're going to do it again. Even if you don't do it the same way, I trust that you're going to teach me what I need to know and what I need to change. So right now, let's get to it. We're going to go into Challenge for Change. All right, so we've had some scriptures actually really coming through, and three of them that really stood out today was 2 Corinthians 7:10, 2 Timothy 1:7, and Joshua 24 verse 15. And I've had people sending in their votes and what it is that they really wanted to commit to memory. And one that really stood out for everyone today was 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, of a calm, well-balanced mind, disciplined and self-controlled. That is powerful, guys. That is powerful. It is the word of God. And it's really going to help us to change and challenge the way that we are so that we can step into who God is really calling us to be. So for this week, if you're going to join us in this challenge this month, please write down these scriptures because they're going to be awesome for us to actually be able to commit to memory so that we can beat back the enemy when he comes with the lies. We can beat back the enemy and say, no, I'm going to change this thought that I'm having now, replace it with the word of God, because I know what God is actually trying to say to me. So for this week, if you have a pen and a paper or you have your phone, these are the scriptures that we're going to commit to memory. At 2 Corinthians 5:7-8, that says, for we walk by faith. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. Yes, we have confident hope and courage and are pleased rather to be away from home, out of the body, and be at home with the Lord. I honestly don't mind if you get another translation and you are doing and committing that to memory, okay? You get your one together and you really set it up the way that God has asked you to remember the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:7-8, we walk by faith and not by sight. Then the second one is 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. He has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It has been awesome to be with you today. I'm Owen Farley, and you're being real. And just remember, keep being real with Jesus. Keep being real in your relationship with the Lord. Set time aside with God and say, God, I really want to know you. I'm going to be the one that is doing this with you. So Jesus really, really loves you. Have a blessed day.